This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm sitting with Joseph Tarigian. I'm John Batchelor. The book is The Party Interest. The Party's Interests Come First. That title is Mao's Opinion of Xi Jinping, the father of Xi Jinping. And what did it mean, Joseph, the party's interests?
So Mao Zedong had this habit of giving phrases to his favorite cadres that he thought perfectly encapsulated their characteristics. And it's interesting to think about why he decided to give that particular phrase to Xi Jinping. And I think one of the answers is that Xi Jinping suffered at the hands of his own party on several occasions, but that Xi Jinping nevertheless remained entirely loyal. And so the Chinese Communist Party is an organization where you are explicitly told that it's the organization that comes first, not your own personal opinions. And Xi Jinping was a human. He often had his own views, but when those differed from the party, he put the party's interests first, just like Mao expected he would.
The success, the retreat of the nationalists to Taiwan, the enter into Beijing, the speeches, including a speech by Xi Jinping, his father, Xi Jinping, on radio. There's a photograph of it. You can see he looks to be a very young man jammed into his communist revolutionary clothes. And he moves his family from the northwest, from Shaanxi, to Beijing, taking up important posts in the early Chinese Communist Party. And what's important here is the second wife, Xin, is with him. And there are two sons born in Beijing. One we know very well, Xi Jinping, the general secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. And the second son, whose name is very difficult for me to pronounce, I'm sure you'll do it for me, Joseph, Wang something.
Yuan Ping.
Thank you. Is born in 55. And we're told early on, we get glimpses of the father and son relationship. As Joseph has said, the father was considered a disciplinarian, but he made it clear that Jinping was his favorite son, or was that a reflection afterwards, Joseph?
The first references to Xi Jinping as the most favorite son I saw in the 1980s. I'm not sure whether he had favorites in the 1950s or not.
In the 1950s, we have an opening to the West. Machinery is showing up from the West, from Germany. There's not a hostility that we now take for granted between Beijing and Washington. And yet, here comes Mao, and the opinion afterwards, and I don't know when Xi voiced this opinion, if he ever did, was that Mao was okay up to 57, but afterwards he became arrogant. What did he mean by that?
So Xi Jinping's attitudes towards Mao were very complicated. On the one hand, he was grateful to Mao for what had happened in 1935. As we've talked about, Xi Jinping nearly died on several occasions. Members of his own family were tormented. And so to go from that to victory, a victory led by Mao, you can see why Xi would be so devoutly loyal to someone like that. Nevertheless, Xi Jinping was also someone who was self-reflective about the failures of the Mao era. He understood that something had gone deeply wrong, and he spent 16 years in the political wilderness being persecuted when he had time to think about that. So he could appreciate that Mao had moved to the strongman model rule, had become a dictator, and that that had been a disaster for the People's Republic of China. Nevertheless, in public, he was fiercely devoted to Chairman Mao's memory. And he, even in the 1980s, after it was clear how bad things had gone, he said very, very, very flattering things about Mao. So he was someone with very, I think, competing impulses when it came to the late chairman.
The Cultural Revolution begins indeterminate date. There's the big scene in Tiananmen Square with Mao cheering on the teenagers, but Xi Jinping was a victim of the early Cultural Revolution. What is a date that you're comfortable with for Mao applying that idea to everything?
I think May 1966 is usually right. Seen as the best beginning date for the Cultural Revolution.
And Xi Jinping is faulted again and condemned. And this time, Had he ever been free of the negotiation from the 40s? Or did they always suspect him anyway? And whenever there were moments of crisis, he again came under scrutiny. How did it go?
When the Cultural Revolution began and these high-ranking figures were targeted, inevitably historical problems would be dug up. And so the revolution was messy, it was complicated. Everybody had something in their past that could be portrayed as something that looked not so good. And so when the Cultural Revolution began in 1966, Xi Zhongxun had already been cast out of the leadership. He was purged in 1962, which was earlier than most of the others. And he was working at a factory. And dramatically, in January of 1967, these Red Guards from Xi'an go to the factory, which is in another province, and essentially kidnapped him and brought him back to Xi'an, where he was incarcerated in a dormitory, brought to struggle sessions. Then he was put in solitary confinement. And after that, he was finally brought to Beijing, where he was held until 1975, when he was finally released.
So the detention early in 62, that is not considered early Cultural Revolution. That's just inter-party warfare.
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because in a way, the fall of Xi Zhongxun in 1962 foreshadowed the Cultural Revolution, because Xi Zhongxun was purged in 1962 because of his supporting of a novel. And this novel was about his old mentor, Liu Jidan, one of the other heroes from the Northwest. And Mao's conclusion was that people were using novels to oppose the regime. And that's another way of saying that he was concerned about the cultural direction of Chinese society, and that to do that, you need to change people's souls. You really need to come up with something drastic and dramatic. And so ultimately, the solution that Mao Zedong came up with to solve this problem was what we know as the Cultural Revolution.
Xi Zhongxun was candid afterwards by saying the Great Leap Forward was a catastrophe, and the Red Guardism, we're going to spend the rest of our time together, Joseph, talking about what the Cultural Revolution does to China. And still does to China, because those teenagers are now grown-ups and doing exercises in public squares and remembering their youth. But the Great Leap Forward, did Xi Zhongxun voice his doubts about it at the time, or was that afterwards when he wrote about it? We have about a minute.
So during the Great Leap Forward, Xi Zhongxun worked for Zhou Enlai, who was the premier, but he also managed the Petition Bureau, which is the organization that accepted letters and visits from people from out the country who complained about problems. And so he knew better than most about the problems, about the starvation, but he also knew he needed to be careful, because if you report on those problems in a particular way, you can be accused of opposing the entire Great Leap Forward. So when he thought he could get away with it, when he thought the political atmosphere was conducive, he raised his opinion. But when he could read the writing on the wall that it wasn't good timing, he kept his mouth shut.
The book is The Party Interest. The Party's Interests Come First, The Life of Zhongxun, Father of Xi Jinping. We're going to turn to the rest of the story next, and Xi Jinping is going to come into the story smoking a cigarette in his underwear in a hot apartment, I believe in Beijing at the time. Joseph Tarigian.
Boyan,
thank you. Joseph Tarigian is the author. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.